was known as the queen of the desert.
I was born in the Kimberley, so that's the main connection, born in Derby. My folks set up the mission at Fitzroy Crossing, and so my mum went into Derby to have me, and then we went back to Fitzroy Crossing, and I spent the first 6 years of my life at Fitzroy, and then they moved to Halls Creek and set up a church and so on there. So I spent most of my primary school years at Halls Creek.
What are your enduring memories of your Kimberley childhood then, Joel?
Particularly growing up with Aboriginal people, I think. We actually, as kids, learnt to speak Creole. Probably spoke Creole before we spoke anything else. So that's been a long-term, enduring thing, and I can still talk to Aboriginal people in Creole and make myself understood. We were never in the house. We were just outside all the time. And I just remember a fantastic time going down to the river swimming. We were able to drive vehicles long before we got a license. So we were going out bush a lot. I remember going out hunting with Aboriginal people. That was a big thing at the time for me. So yes, just growing up in the Kimberley meant a really open, free lifestyle.
How has that childhood, you think, influenced your subsequent art, be it in photography, painting, music, and the stories that you're writing about in music, and even ceramics? And I'm wondering if there is often a thread of the Kimberley running through a lot of your works.
I think there is. My mum was a teacher. She actually started the school at Fitzroy Crossing, the first Aboriginal school in the Fitzroy Valley, and she gave us coloured pencils and paper and encouraged us to draw. So, and I've still got some of those drawings I did when I was a little kid. She kept them all. So a lot of that can be attributed to her. She was also an avid photographer. And we've got an incredible photographic record of their time in the Kimberley, because they came in 1951. And she just documented her times. And our family really do have to do something with that photographic record. And I know, and this trip is a little bit about that, about coming back and just getting a feel for it all.
Has it changed, or is there a sense of homecoming after your recent camping trip along the Gibb River Road?
There's certainly a sense of homecoming. When we drove over the Diversion Dam the other day into Kununurra, that felt like coming home, because we lived in Kununurra for 10 years in the 80s. And so that was a more recent experience. But going back to Fitzroy, we drove around the old mission yesterday morning before we left Fitzroy to come here. And a lot of the old buildings are gone, but the old tank stand was still there. So that brought back memories. And of course, some of the Aboriginal people were there, and I said hello to them. And that was nice to catch up with the folks that I knew from that time.
We tend to think the worst of those who got the most, while we secretly desire the things of which they boast. We're sure we deserve more than we've got. We're rarely satisfied with what's our lot. It's the human condition that we're all subject to. The human condition.
Joel Smoker is my guest in the ABC Kimberley studio. He's a musician, he's an artist, and he's a visitor to his old stamping ground of the Kimberley, and he's returned after a long absence. Joel, your latest album, The Human Condition, follows a particular theme. Before I talk about what this latest album's storyline is, can you touch on some of the themes of your previous albums?
Good. The first album I did was an album called Out on Highway 1, and it was really about travelling around Australia, and it was something of a narrative. So that was the first one. And then when we went back to live in Kununurra, I got a lot of stories and turned them into songs, and the album Outback came out of that. So that's from that time of being in Kununurra for those 10 years in the 80s. And then the other albums have been, in a sense, a form of documentation of my experiences in where I've been and what I've been doing.
Is Human Condition a bit of an evolution story as well?
It kind of is. It's really songs about how we are as people. And each time I do an album, I try to have some overriding theme to it so that it's different from the last one. And again, I use the visual imagery. So in this one, I've used the image of me in a jester's hat. And of course, the jester in medieval times was the character in the king's court who could act out things that were happening, particularly things that weren't so good, for the king to get an idea of what was going on. And often the jester would tell the king things he didn't really want to hear.
And without fear of reprisal, whereas other courtiers weren't allowed to mention such things, but the jester could really hold the mirror.
That's right. He was lucky he didn't get his head chopped off if he said something the king didn't like. And
the king knew that.
Yeah.
Is that very much what Joel Smoker's trying to do in this one?
Who knows, maybe. The songs come and then you're trying to put a set of songs together that kind of hold together, you know.
Tell me about Mrs. Curly Goes Shopping.
Well, it's a song that I really like because it's a story about an Aboriginal woman from Meekatharra, and it's a story about someone who wins. Because a lot of the stories to do with Aboriginal people are often about loss, and this one is about someone who wins, and she wins the lottery, and then as the story progresses in the song, she wins again. So that's what I liked about it. And I read it in the newspaper and wrote it while I was in Meekatharra.
Mrs. Curly lives in Meekatharra, way out in the west, anytime she wants.
What about Luddites of the World Unite? This is another track on the human condition. What are you saying in this song?
Well, I guess it's something of an anthem, and it's really about technology and how, if we're not careful, it can take over our lives. The Luddites, of course, were that group of people who followed a guy called Ned Ludd in 100 or so years ago in England, who went around smashing all the machines that were printing, making textiles and putting people out of work. So really what they were on about is people were more important than machines. And I guess I'm sort of reflecting that in our current modern day where we're surrounded by so many machines and so much technology.
And as you say, one of the lyrics is, look, the worst that'll happen is you'll lose your emails.
That's right, yes. Yeah, you might actually go out and communicate with people directly.
Do you think we're losing a lot of communicating directly with our fellow human beings?
Well, I think so, particularly, and I'm a high school art teacher, and so I notice it with kids. The whole social media phenomena is so great, and a lot of them don't really communicate directly with each other, and it's all this communication via email and via cyberspace, and it's not necessarily making real contact with people.
Luddites of the world unite, you've nothing to lose but your emails. You just need a new outlook, not the one from Microsoft.
Joel Smoker, there's some wonderful layers to your latest album of different instrumentation from bandmates and from collaborations. There's the dobro, there's the banjo, and there's a great sense of layering in the songs. Can you tell me a little bit about actually the musical compilation of Human Condition?
Well, yes. Ian Simpson is the guy who's produced it, and Ian plays banjo and guitar and dobro on this particular album. He was the banjo player in Slim Dusty's Travelling Band for at least 20 years, and he's a very gifted musician. He's also a good harmony singer. So he's the guy I collaborated with when I had the songs. We sort of workshopped them together, and then he's taken it through to production stage. We've also got Dave Clark, who's a mandolin player, although he's not mandolin on this. He plays harmonica and he plays fiddle as well. So that's those acoustic instruments, which I really love. And then, of course, we've got the rhythm section.
From your recent trip along the Gibb River Road, Joel, what are some of your standout memories?
Well, Bell Gorge particularly. I'd never been to Bell Gorge and I knew about it. I've been up the Gibb River Road before because, of course, I've done postcards of places on the Gibb River Road. But that, when I was here in the 80s, was a gorge that was hard to get to. Whereas now, you can camp at Silent Grove, which is where we stay for a couple of nights, and then it's just a 10-kilometre drive from there into the gorge. We spent a day there, and it was fantastic. I always like to swim at these places, and it's got a big waterfall, and there's been good rains, so we spent a good part of the time swimming in the pool and sitting under the waterfall. And then after taking some pictures, I took my cameras back to the car and brought my drawing gear back and did a drawing there as well. So I've sketched up a big drawing, which I hope to finish when I get home.
Are you still a Kimberley kid at heart, Joel Smoker?
I am, and I love the country and have always done so. And I guess I'm basically using it as some sort of inspiration for producing my art.
And Joel, before I let you go, is there another song on the human condition that you're particularly proud of, or one that has a deep personal meaning?
Hannah and Daniel would be a good one, because it's a song I wrote for my niece, Hannah, and her husband on their wedding day. And they've been married for 10 years now, so I finally got round to recording the song. And Hannah's brother lives here in Broome. He's Jeremiah Riley, and he works as a lawyer with the Kimberley Land Council. So this one, you could say, is going out for Jeremiah particularly, seeing he lives here.
At a time of great uncertainty, where nothing seems sure, there's trouble on the streets and worse behind.